sales win rates have plummeted to a mere 17%, and outdated technology and tedious manual processes are to blame. Meanwhile, managers lack the visibility they need to hold their teams accountable. But imagine a world in which these crippling issues are solved automatically. Revenue.io automates the most frustrating parts of sales so reps can focus on what they do best, selling. Completely automate pre-call research, logging conversation data in your CRM, writing post-conversation recap emails, and prioritized outreach. And as reps book more meetings and close more deals, managers gain the real-time insight they need to scale what's working across their entire team. Ready to say goodbye to tedious sales processes and watch your win rate soar? Head over to revenue.io to learn more.
Welcome back, everybody, to this week's Sales Strategy Enablement Podcast. I'm Alistair Wilcock, and I am thrilled to have with me today our very own Vice President of Sales, Ryan Valancourt. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Alistair, I'm doing well. It's nice to see you. Long time.
Yes, it has been at least a few minutes, so it is wonderful to reconnect. But look, Ryan, we don't get to do this that often. You and I chat nauseam through the day, almost given days on different things, what's going on and what we're hearing and seeing in the market. But just for context for our audience, Ryan is front and center in every enterprise that we work with around the world, helping build our team, has been part of so many of our critical initiatives, and most importantly is on the front lines of seeing what is working and what is not working in generative AI. And Ryan, I want to pick your brain a little bit here today on those use cases of generative AI, because AI and generative AI, it's a buzz in the market. It's definitely helping in some productivity examples, but I also think sometimes we get caught up on the hype and lose sight of just practical, good old-fashioned sales assistance. And I'm going to read you something here just to comment on out of the box. And that is, Gartner released a recent pulse survey of sales leaders. And they asked them, what is most important to you for generative use cases in driving team performance? I'm going to give you the top three, and then maybe the bottom one. The top three was, number one, actionable input to the team about the company. So just helping them with knowledge, essentially. Next is actually customizing messaging out to customers. Third is intelligence about customers. Now, what's interesting out of the top 10, then also I'm going to give you the one that ranked the lowest, and that was development of simple summaries of sales calls. What's your reaction to that?
Wow. It's provocative, because I'd flip. You go back to the practical utility and application of what generative is doing to help really not just sales, but anybody in a customer-facing role. Those top three examples, if I've heard them correctly, are fundamentally about research and preparation. It's about knowledge, education, and awareness. And generative is, of course, a game changer to make that work, which is important, a lot faster and easier. And it's not really action-oriented. I think in its best implementation, technology is shortening the time between idea and taking an action that actually moves a deal forward, moves a renewal forward, moves something substantial and meaningful for the customer forward. And research is a piece of that. But let me give you an example of what I mean by taking action and a practical application of what I'm seeing in generative. It deals actually with what you mentioned, which is conversation summaries. So anybody listening who manages salespeople or has ever managed salespeople before, or if you've ever been managed by a sales manager, which I imagine is a lot of our audience here, has spent thousands, maybe tens of thousands of hours, depending on how long you've been doing this, in conversations that start with my new least favorite question that I would like for all of us in the industry to vaporize. Here's the question. We ask it
and we've been asked it. Ready? What happened? What happened in the conversation?
I have personally spent thousands of hours in one-on-ones with sales reps that I've been managing my career in order for me to help them. I gotta know what happened, right? And I can't be in every meeting, right? I definitely can't be. It's bad for me to be in every meeting, even if I could in some way. How am I going to give you guidance and advice if I don't know what happened? And we've been living for the past 6-7 years in a world where during this period, I've had access to recordings and to transcript. I have sold software that provides transcripts and recordings and makes the process of reviewing conversations easier and more efficient. Hey, I can play it at 1.5 speed. I have things like keyword analysis. See, oh, in this part of the, this is where you talked about X. And the reality is, even the best intended sales managers, sales enablement leaders, coaches, they do not have time to review extensively those calls. So even though they've got the transcript and it goes back to the one, all right, Alistair, so I know you had the big meeting this morning. I was helping you. What happened? Now, the way this has changed my life, I'll tell you, honest to God, real story. This goes back, I probably 6 months ago, but it feels in the age of AI like it was 3 years ago. I'm in Los Angeles. I had a senior enterprise AE on the East Coast, our friend Steve Ellis. And Steve was working an opportunity and it was very late stage. And he had a big meeting and I was aware of it. It was early his time. And so I was expecting an update on how that conversation went as I was working on my forecast for you. And so I think it was about 7:30 Pacific my time. He had the meeting a couple hours earlier. And Steve pings me, hey, had the conversation, but I need to chat with you through some things, like important update. And so instead of waiting until 7:30 or 8 o'clock or whatever it is and going to Steve and saying, all right, man, what happened? I went and I reviewed the conversation summary, which took me about 40 seconds. And it was very obvious that there was a last minute ask from procurement in this big deal. And it was an ask I've seen before, knew exactly how to handle the situation. And so we get into the quick call with Steve. We're on video. And this is before he's used to having this tool. He's like, all right, let me tell you. And I was like, hold on, let me guess. X, Y, and Z. Procurement wants L. He's like, wow, thanks, man. Like you got up early and you reviewed that whole call already? He's like, no, I literally just read to you word for word how generative AI summarized the transcript of that call. And so what that does in that instance, that saved us those 20 minutes. But a good leader now can show up to a conversation about a deal and a one-on-one and say, what are we going to do? So no more what happened. What are we doing next? And that is a crazy paradigm shift enabled by a seemingly simple feature, conversation summaries, right? That generative AI is enabling.
I love the real world example. And I'm glad you're challenging the pushback on that being, again, the idea that developing a summary of a sales call is actually quite low ranked on that survey. Because I tend to agree. And I think there is almost, Ryan, this flippancy of the technology of, oh, the summarization is just to give me an email output, right? In that sense. I go, oh, good. I don't mind an email output coming from the conversation. But how do you move and better salespeople fundamentally? We do need to coach at the end of the day. To cite another Gartner source from years ago when I used to work there, we used to look at what makes effective managers versus non-effective managers, right? The effectiveness scale. And unsurprisingly, ineffective was the constant push on how the numbers, where we at. You do need that, of course, but it isn't the most effective thing that's going to help AEs, SDRs, CS people be more effective. What helps them is situational knowledge and advice. So then you go, how do you scale that? You scale it by actually looking at things as something, oh, for the first time in history, to your point, recording a conversation isn't new, but being able to action it is huge. And I just want to build on your story here, because even for myself internally, right? When I first came to revenue.io, this is pre-generative AI, we've had recordings and all that. I would love to say that I can keep up with hundreds of conversations on any given week and go and see what's going on. But it's very simple. Now with generative and be able to quickly actually see the summarization and know how did they score, what went well, what didn't, how is that mapping against now 300 calls? And I get a sense of, hey, are we actually improving on some basics in the company, or are we still tripping up on the same things all the time? Does that drive my enablement? It sure does. So it isn't just the idea that I have a deal insight, which absolutely I now have at scale, so everybody can actually get back to doing what is numero uno for effectiveness and sales leadership, which is actually giving functional, tactical, situational advice. But we're able to do that at a volume we've never been able to do it before. And we're able to then take that aggregated insight and map it against everything that's going on in the company and now see, are people liking certain things that are going well? Are we seeing people stall out in demos? And we're seeing that show up at the scale of summarization. There's so much more that I think we're just beginning to get into on this idea of using conversation intelligence. It's like the Renaissance. We came out of COVID of let's just record because we wanted to know were people actually doing anything, to now you can actually live up to what we always thought it would be. And that's actually helping reps be amazing at any given time.
That last point is really important. If you think about, again, just sticking with this example of the summary, which I think is a mistake to undervalue. Because the reality is, as much as those who are thought leaders and analysts and podcast hosts and the people who are studying, it's crazy how we could quickly get to the point where somebody may take for granted a reliable and automatic summary. The reality is your average seller out there does not yet have access to this technology. So let's like burst that bubble. So there are a lot of people who still need access to this kind of value. And when they have it, what is it really about? I like to, it's about increasing action and decreasing the time between idea and action. In the example that I gave, and in the one that you're building upon, it's still functionally about a manager being better enabled to provide that tactical coaching. And I'm right there with you. And if you study how sales reps who have access to this are using it, do they benefit from their managers no longer asking what happened? Of course they do. But most people selling something are selling something with a team. If you're an AE selling B2B SaaS, you're working with a sales engineer. The ease of collaboration internally, a good sales engineer needs to know what happened. If you have a sales engineer in your business and they're relying on an internal meeting and the question, what happened to prepare for the demo, it's a huge problem, right? That is a mistake in preparation. And it's actually, I believe it's at the root cause of why most buyers say sales experiences are worthless, because as they go through the process and more people are involved, the average selling team is poorly prepared. It's like really damn hard to prepare, actually, when other members are relying on the notes of the actual salesperson.
I think you're bang on. And it's where we go next and how you ideate on these technologies, I think, is so paramount right now. Don't underestimate the importance there. You've heard me say this countless times before. For those that listen to the podcast regularly, although this seems like such tactical and uninspiring advice, if you aren't capturing all of your data right now, you're not automating all your data, and you're not capturing every conversation, you shouldn't even be talking about generative AI and AI. Let's start with the table stakes and build from there on there, because that's the hype from the fiction, right? To your point, Ryan, on a maturity scale of 1 to 5, most companies average out to a 1.3. You and I are talking about very advanced technologies. Yes, they become way easier to deploy, but people aren't even doing the basics yet on that side. And that's going to bring me to the part two I want to pick your brain on here. When we've looked at what are people trying to achieve, what's the business objectives companies are prioritizing headed into 2024, again, from a sales leader perspective, what is really fascinating right now is that at the top of the list is operational excellence at about 27%. So 27% of all sales leaders, they sit there and say, hey, operational excellence is really important to me right now. Inside that is things at number one, seller effectiveness and virtual selling enabled. Okay, so that's like the top thing. What is fascinating, 9%, okay, 9% is only situated towards growth. Increasing revenue and customer growth is 7%, and helping ensure returns on strategic accounts is, and you think about that, the sales leader is saying something like that, Ryan, where they're actually way more right? At 27 to 9%, way more focus on how do I just make everybody better? I actually just need to really lean in now to make my team amazing. They got to make it at this format that you and I are doing right now. They have to be better than they've ever been before. Generative is giving productivity gains, but how are you seeing AI and how are you seeing customers look at this in terms of how am I improving actual seller effectiveness? How am I helping them sell virtually in a more engaging, better way?
I think the first thing to say, and this may seem obvious, but it depends on where that company actually is on the 1 through 5 maturity scale that you talked about. And it is my experience talking to organizations that are trying to solve these problems and figure out the role sales technology plays in it that 1.3 seems about right. Those of us who are in technology, something of a bubble, would make this assumption that all the other companies out there have access to all this technology. They don't. And your average mid-market and low enterprise company is actually extremely manual, which, by the way, I suspect is at the root of why so many operations and sales leaders are saying the most important thing is operational excellence, because the status quo is operational inexcellence. And I should look at the study. My hypothesis would be that those who put that at the top are saying, if we nail that, then maybe the growth will come. I think there's some truth to that, but it depends. I'll tell you another story from the field. There's a company who I would describe as being at that 1.3, low to moderate automation of basic activities. And they're actually really interested in modernizing and embracing some of this generative technology. And to your point before, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot with generative if you're not automating some basic processes and actually capturing data. But their big challenge, they have someone who just sees himself as an innovator, a visionary, and trying to bring modernization to a legacy organization. And they are that. And they have a challenge in front of them. The thing that sales reps are responding to, because we got to get them to adopt this technology if it's going to drive change in the business. You know what they're responding to? Because it's not the things that you and I might think are the most innovative out there. It's not using AI to provide automatic contextual guidance and real conversations, which is technology that is available today and is a sort of ready for you if you're a 3, 4, or 5 on the maturity scale. You know what those reps really want that generative enables? It's something that you mentioned earlier, and we would be at risk of undervaluing. They get out of a phone call or a conversation, and what generative can do is they can analyze that conversation and not just have a conversation summary, but they go over into their Outlook or they go into their Gmail about 10 minutes later, and generative AI has written an email that recaps that conversation. It's such a fundamental, decades-old best practice of great sellers. And what I've learned about great sellers and making them more effective, if you want to move the middle a little, you want to make those core performers in the middle, it's really all about how do you enable them to have the discipline and the consistency and the damn basics. When I have conversations with customers and buyers every day, what do the top sellers do? They send a really thorough, customer-centric follow-up email after every conversation, and they do it quickly. It's timely. And it's amazing how by, wow, I'm working with a professional. Sounds so basic. In fairness, the rep, yeah, but I had 4 big meetings today, and I've got my notes over here, and there's a lot to get in there. It's intimidating to try to get all that done. And before you know it, it's 5 o'clock, and they got to pick up the kids, or they want to go golf, or whatever that. Instead, they have this and they can customize and they can personalize it. Simple use case. That's what the reps want.
I think being close to the customer experience is always key. In this case, the rep is the customer. Mm-hmm. The rep, how can you move and help make their lives better and easier? You know, we have now seen for years increasing volumes of technology in sales. We have seen less and less customer-facing time. The moments we get have to be amazing. And your tactical example, Ryan, a follow-up email. Yeah, I had 4 big meetings that day. They got a bunch of other stuff to get done, but the customer probably had 1 big meeting that day, with a vendor at least. And if you have a vendor that's all about, oh no, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to help you, we're going to help you solve all these amazing problems, and can't even be bothered to follow up with you until Friday when they get around to it. They sell Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they do all their follow-ups on Friday. And you got the other group that is in there going, hey, I'm like, I got this back out to you within 4 hours, and I'm thinking of you, and here's what else I'm going to do. Because if that's important to you, Why do you want to lose the next 72 hours to do something? Doesn't mean deals there, but in an age where stalled deals are happening, shouldn't we use technology to action and help our reps action faster? And I think that's not giving a dashboard to say, oh, they are or aren't. It's literally giving them tools to say, we've actually done this for you. You now can instantly action. And that experience is so much better. Ryan, we are going to run out of time, unfortunately. And we always love to wrap up with a little bit of fun trivia. So I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here. But we're going to give you an easy question and our audience play along here, okay? So question, you ready? Multiple choice.
I don't know if I'm ready, but I'll go for it.
You'll give it a go. All right, here we are. In the spirit of sales, what percentage of sales professionals agree that artificial intelligence can help them spend more time on critical aspects of their role? A, 58%, B, 65%, C, 74%, or D, a whopping 78%?
This feels like a trick question. I'll give the audience some time to ponder. A, 58%, B, 65%, C, 74%, or D, 78%?
Everything over 50, which is interesting.
65%.
All right. For those listening in, Ryan is right on almost all of his advice to salespeople that I know among sales professional leaders in the world today. But in this instance, it is actually 78%. Over three quarters of all sales professionals, the actual people doing the job, Ryan, they believe it can assist them in dedicating more time to the critical aspects of their roles. And I think everything that you have outlined to our audience today and the way in which you're looking at what we started with, which is that peer review survey, challenge your leadership teams to think about not productivity just in the same zone, I have an insight, the actual productivity gain that's going to help the rep do more and get what they know is important actually done. If we just listen to our AEs, we'll be able to apply these technologies in an action-orientated way. They know it. Three quarters of them believe it will help them. They want it. Let's go help them be far more action-orientated. Ryan, final word is yours.
You nailed it. Let's do it. It's about that action.
Ryan, it has been a pleasure. For everyone else, thank you for listening in to us. Ryan, we hope to have you back again. I would love to double click on some of the automation side as well and just some of the basic process components that I think you see every day that people are overlooking. But appreciate your insights on generative AI and AI. Everybody, Ryan Valancourt, Vice President of Sales, Revenue.io. Please remember to like and subscribe, and we will see you next week on the Sales Strategy Enablement Podcast.
Hey, sales strategists. At Revenue.io, we're not just imagining the future of sales, we're building it. We offer the world's most complete platform for revenue teams, and we're featured in the most recent Forrester Waves for both sales engagement and conversation intelligence. With Revenue.io, you can slash call prep time to seconds, guide your reps in real time to have more successful conversations, and after calls, we generate ready-to-send recap emails so sellers can keep deals soaring toward the finish line at light speed. See the future of sales now at Revenue.io.